The following is a podcast of Thrive, a high school ministry at Victory Family Church. For more details, see thriveatvictory.com.
Is it to be known? Is it to collect money and save up for a nice house? Or is it to invest in your friends and love the people? What is your values? What is the direction that you have for your life? And I want to spend 5 minutes on these next three words. And this is what we stand for as a ministry. We want to see people belong, connect, and develop. Belong, connect, and develop. The first one is belong. If you guys are taking notes, I hope you are, because when you guys get out of here, you have to have notes in order to get out of here. So you guys might be hanging in here the rest of the night. So make sure you guys get your iPhones out and you guys are taking some notes. But the first word is belong. We exist as a ministry to reach people who do not know Jesus. I like to say this, that people belong here before they ever believe. You don't have to believe what we believe to belong here. And I know you guys probably find that hard to believe, that I can just come as I am. See, I believe church, we have played so many games today where we put on our church clothes, we put on our church mask, and we act like our life is fine when we come in these four walls. But I have news for you guys, that we don't go to church, but that we are the church. Because if we just go to church, that's something that we do for 1 hour or for 45 minutes for us a week. I want to let you guys know that we are the church and that we exist for the world and that the world does not exist for us. People belong here before they ever believe. And I want to encourage you guys, find the most rotten person, the most dirtiest person in your school and bring them here. You know why? Because those people need to know the love of Jesus. I look at my life and the people that invested in me and the people that brought me to this place. See, if they would have just been so focused on themselves saying, man, this is what I have to do. I have to go to church on a Saturday night and not having this in mind that we are the church, I would not be standing in front of you today. I think you guys have the same story as well. Who invested in your life? Who brought you here? It's our turn to go into the world and to preach the gospel to everyone. And that's what Mark 16:15 says. We go into the world and proclaim the gospel, the good, too good to be true news, that Jesus loves you even though you were yet a sinner, that you might have messed up yesterday, but he loves you and he cares for you. See, I recently had a friend that I was hanging out with, and he's my best friend. He was in college his senior year, and he was dating this girl for about 6 years. And this is the effect of what happens when you live in the world. But he decided that he wanted to go to a party his senior year, and he was dating this girl for 6 years, all the way through high school into college. And he decided that he just wanted to go out and have fun. So he went out, he got drunk, and not only that, he decided to take a Molly. And if you guys don't know what Molly is, it's like ecstasy mixed with speed. So he was drunk, and he took this Molly, and then he was talking to this girl, and then all of a sudden he did something that he shouldn't have done, and this girl went back to his girlfriend who he was about to be engaged with, and she said, you know, your boyfriend was coming on to me pretty strong. I think you need to be aware of that of the situation. And he was devastated. He was depressed. He was in a broken state after his girlfriend broke up with him, almost to a point that he did not want to get out of bed for about 6 months. And him being my best friend, I cared so dearly for him. And I would go over his house and I'd say, man, just because you messed up doesn't mean you're a failure. Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love you. And for 6 months, I was just there for him, investing in him, telling him how much that Jesus loved him. If you look to my right and you look to my left, you see the cross that Jesus died for you and me. He died the most brutal death so that we can live for him. And not just live for him, but to tell people about the love that he has for them. And now my buddy comes here every Saturday night to service, and he experiences the love of God because I would not give up on him. Maybe tonight you are battling with addiction. Scratch that. Tonight you are battling with addictions. You're struggling right now, and you're acting like you have everything together. I want to let you know, as your pastor, as your director, I struggle with things. I have issues that I'm working through. This place, you belong here. You don't have to come with your life together like my buddy thought he had to. You come and you let the Word of God just do something inside of you. Who are your friends that are battling with addictions? Who are your friends that are battling with their self-image? Who are your friends that are battling with worry, anxiety, and depression? And you might be that person tonight. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And that these crosses to the right and to my left is Him saying, I love you so much that I would die for you. Even though you screwed up, you are not a screw up. The second thing that I want you guys to get tonight, not only do we belong, but people connect here. We exist as a ministry to facilitate life change in people who do know Christ. Matthew 28, 18 through 19 says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. See, making or becoming a follower of Christ, I have to be honest with you, it's going to cost you. And it's probably going to cost you more than you can imagine. But everything in life costs something. And it's our job as believers to determine if the cost outweighs the reward. And I know this, following Jesus, the reward always outweighs the cost. But the opposite is true as well. When you follow this cost, this culture, the cost outweighs the reward. See, John 10:10 says this, the thief, which is Satan, he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Man, that sounds like a bad day if you come up with that, dude. He says, but he said, I, Christ, came that we may have life and have life abundantly. Overflowing to the brim cannot be measured. One thing that I get out of this text is this, that Jesus is worth the cost. And he said this, I did not just come that you may have life, but that you may have life and life abundantly. And then I look at what Satan provides us and what the outcome of following him and following this culture is. He says, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. But you know as well as I that sin is fun. How many of you guys think sin is fun? I think sin is fun. I'll put two hands up because I think sin is fun. And I might just wave them around like I just don't care. What's up? What's up, huh? What's up? I know, I'm a white pastor. What do you expect? Come on. I don't have too much flow in my game. But sin is fun. Trust me, I lived in this culture. I believed what they told me would be success. I believed the lie that they told me. But I want to finish that statement. See, sin is fun, but sin is fun for a season. You're drinking, you're getting high, you're messing around with your boyfriend and girlfriend, and man, it is fun. Pleasing your flesh is fun. But I want to say this, it's only fun for a season. And Jesus said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You have to choose. Thrive. Tonight, you have to choose. If you think the cost outweighs the reward by following Jesus, I can't do this for you. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. Your friends to the right or to the left of you can't do it for you. And tonight, you guys have a decision to make. Are you going to follow the things of this world that say, yes, this is fun, this is success? Or are you going to follow the things of God in which he says, I want to take you to the promised land. I want to take you to a place where you will have life and life abundantly. See, being a follower of Christ in high school, I lost my popularity. I was one heck of an athlete. I was one heck of a baseball player and football player and basketball player. But I lost my popularity because I stuck up for Jesus. Because I said, you know what? I love Jesus. And I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be who God has created me to be. And I lost my popularity. Another thing that I lost was invitations to hang out with friends. I wasn't invited to go to parties. I wasn't invited to go hang out on a Friday night with some of my friends that were getting together. The third thing that I was left out of was the girls. My gosh. I don't know what it was, but all the secular girls, all the girls of this world, they were the most hottest girls that I've ever seen. And you guys are probably feeling the same as well, right? Come on, guys, where you at? But I lost the opportunity to have a girlfriend. But I had a friend that loved me dearly, and he didn't know he loved me dearly. And every time that I would go and I would try to get a girl and try to get a girlfriend, somehow he would come in with a still. I mean, this wasn't just with one girl. It was like with three girls. And these girls, I know, now that I look back, that I would have lost my virginity to them, that I would have made mistakes, that I would probably ended up with some disease today if my friend didn't come in and save me. And the last thing is this, develop. And I finished with this. Give me three more minutes. We rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit to accomplish our mission. People belong, they connect, and develop. Because we exist as a ministry to reach people who do not know Jesus. Connect. We exist as a ministry to facilitate life change in people who do know Jesus. And lastly, develop. We rely on the Holy Spirit to accomplish our mission here on earth. And you're going to see belong, connect, and develop everywhere within this place, within this room. Because I want to get it in you guys so that you know what your purpose is here on earth and within this ministry. See, so many believers today focus on the price that he has paid, which is the cross, but they forget about the promise that he has sent, which is his Holy Spirit. See, we need to look to the cross for salvation, but we need to look beyond the cross for the promise, which is his Holy Spirit. See, we first need to know who he is before we know who we are as believers. And the first thing we need to know is that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, he is not an it. He is not fire. He is not like a dove. Did you ever hear that saying, that dude is strong as an ox? My buddy JoJo was benching 435 his senior year in high school. And I'm like, dude, that dude is strong as an ox. And I don't know if we have that picture behind us, do we? He is strong as an ox. And those are pretty strong oxes. But the Holy Spirit, he is not an ox. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. John 14, 26 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He teaches us. He guides us. He comforts us. The Bible says that he has a mind and emotion of his own. The Holy Spirit is not an it, but he is a he. And I want to look at this one verse in Acts. And it's found in Acts 1:8. And the primary role of the Holy Spirit upon the life of the believer is for us to be a witness. In Acts 1:8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. It was when I was in youth group when I really started to understand who Jesus was and what he said in Acts 1:8, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon me. And I'm just going to stop here right now, and I'm going to say this. Some of you guys are too concerned with your popularity right now. You really are. Some of you guys are too concerned to what other people think about you, that you can't live for God. But you're not alone. You're not the only person in this room that is struggling with that. I, myself, I struggle with that when I go to the YMCA and people ask me what I do. You know, sometimes I have a hard time telling them that I'm a youth and young adults pastor because I know they're going to look at me different. I know that I'm going to lose my popularity or who I am as a person. Some of you guys are just struggling because you want to be popular. You want to be known as the party person. When everybody's throwing a party, we're inviting him. or we're inviting her. I promise you this, and I care about you guys. I really do. It will produce death in your life. That void that you have right now, it's going to be there tomorrow. That problem that you have that you're dealing with right now, and you think that drinking and smoking marijuana and maybe doing pills and pain pills, you think that that's going to fill the void in your life. But I can promise you this, tomorrow or that day after you're done partying, you're going to wake up with that same problem. And I see our generation dealing with comparison more than ever and popularity more than ever because we have Instagram, we have social media where we care about how many people like our photos. We care about how many people like our posts. Snapchat, we want everybody to look at our Snapchat. We have a Snapchat here at Thrive. But some of you guys are too concerned about what other people think about you, that you lost your identity of who you are in Christ. See, I was in youth group when I found out that Acts 1:8 was real, that it applied to my life. And when I found out that Jesus loved me and that he died for me, that he has sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of me, I wanted everybody to know. I wanted all my friends to know. I wanted all the circle of influences that I had to know. And I was at my youth group when my pastor says, we're going to give away an Xbox for how many people that you bring. So I brought my whole baseball team. Do you know, after that night, that whole baseball team made fun of me. They rejected me. They wanted nothing to do with me. That I lost all of my friends. But 7 years later, 8 years later, today, I have friends on Facebook. I have friends that come up to me at the Y and said, Zach, I chase the things of this culture. I've messed around with more women than I could count. I got drunk more than you can even imagine. But I see the fulfillment that you have, and I want it. It took 8 years for those kids, for my friends, to realize that what they were chasing, what this culture had for them, was nothing. And I don't want to see that happening to you. I don't want to see that happening to your friends. And I know some of you guys are blowing this message off right now, and that's okay. But I know that some of this is hitting home with you guys. And know here at Thrive that we are family, that you belong here before you ever believe, that you connect here. We have small groups. We have our services. You can serve here. And lastly, you can develop here. You can be all that God has created you to be. And with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to just ask this invitation for everybody here. And it's simply this. You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life tonight. You hear about this Jesus. You see what he has done when he died on the cross for you and me. And you says, I want this Jesus. I don't know what I have to do, but I want him. It says in Romans that he says, I am a gift to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything but just ask and believe. In the count of three, I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand tonight. To say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand. And if you want to rededicate your life and you're saying, man, I follow the things of this culture. I need to know Jesus. I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. And we're going to pray together with everybody here. One, two, simply raise your hand. Three, is there anybody here tonight that says, I see that hand? Is there anybody here tonight? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Man, hands are going up. I see that hand. There's hands going up everywhere. We thank you. Just repeat this prayer after me. It is a simple prayer. And you can do this with your friends as well. And simply repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're my Savior. And right now, I make you Jesus, the Lord of my life. Thank you for coming in. I thank you that I'm a child of God. In your name, amen. Let's give it up for those who decided that they wanted to make Jesus the Lord of life. Thank you, God.